The men are going to be passing out some notes to you this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit today about, you know, making sure that you and I stand strong and that we hang on. And some people say, well, I don't like that thing about hanging on. Well, I'm going to show you in Scripture where it says that we are to hang on and to get a grasp and to hang on tightly. And that's what the Lord wants you and I to do, to hang on to Him, to grasp Him and hang on tightly. I was looking through some stuff and I found these little laugh lines. They're really cute. And it says here, my daughter's music lessons are a fortune to me. How is that? Somebody asked. They enable me to buy the neighbor's house at half price. One way for a man to save money is to marry his second wife first. Some of you didn't get that. Hopefully you don't have to go through that, but it is amazing what goes on out there. A man can usually, ladies, you're going to like this, a man can usually can do a lot more than he thinks he can, but he quite often does a lot less than he thinks he does. There's a lot of truth in that, too. A farmer's mule kicked his mother-in-law in the head, and she passed away. A large crowd gathered for the funeral, most of them men. Following the service, the minister said, Mrs. Bailey must have been a very popular lady. Just look at all the people who have stopped all their chores to come to her funeral. They aren't here for the funeral, Pastor, commented the old farmer, one old farmer. They're here to bid on the mule. Oh. My mother-in-law loves that. Oh, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Standing strong and hang on. Stand strong and hang on. You've got your outline there. I want you to read that with me. Joshua 1, 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We're going to read that again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Moses has just passed away. Joshua has now become the leader of the Israelites. And God speaks this to him three times right off the bat. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And we need to understand that we need to be strong and courageous. The Hebrew word for strong refers to sound legs, while the one for courage refers to having a secure grasp. The point is clear. God was telling Joshua that his success as a leader depended on whether he could stand strong and hold on tightly. If you want to make it in the kingdom of God as a believer, you need to get yourself set to where you're standing strong. You're on that foundation of Jesus, and you need to have a firm grasp. And I'm telling you, what I believe we need to grasp within our hearts is His Word. To where we can quote it out, where we're in a battle or whatever's going on and there's not a Bible laying around, we can quote His Word out and we can take that in. And I'm telling you, today, after just getting reminded of only 4% of millennials, children born from 1983 on, only 4% of them are going to serve the Lord. I believe we need to start confessing, God, we're believing for 80% of millennials to rise up. And God, at Church of Life, we're believing for 100%. You know, that they are going to rise up and be sold out radicals for Jesus. And God's going to impact their lives. I was talking with somebody this week, and we were talking a little bit about Battle Cry. And the reason Ron Luce put Battle Cry together is he saw that statistic that, what is it, 85 or 90% of those that commit their lives to Jesus do so before they reach the age 18. So when you're somebody like Kevin and you came to know the Lord later, man, you're only in 15%. If you're 60 or 70 or 80 years old and you come to know the Lord, you really are, all that come to know the Lord are a miracle, but you are a living, walking miracle. But for us, we need to be focusing in on where the harvest is ripe. And that's our children. That's our teenagers. Because I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've gone to a secular university. I went to a Christian university. And I watch what happens to college students. Many of them, they do that bye, bye, bye song. You know, they say bye, bye, bye to Jesus. 90% of believers that are not founded in the Lord, strong Christian kids, walk away from God within the first 90 days when they go to a secular university and they live on campus. Now that tells me you better have your kids in a foundation. And some people say, well, I'm dealing with these. You know what? If it's been planted, we have to trust God to bring them back. But you can't get so frustrated about their apathy or what's going on. What you need to get focused on is those that are younger and those that are ready to say, I want Jesus. Now let me be a part of that. Are you getting that this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. He's just starting. We got 3 hours. My dad said, as long as I'm done by 2:45, he can get home and watch the Daytona 500, so preach as long as you want, son. So if I go that long, just blame that man sitting back there in that chair. Sometimes he gets so in the spirit, his eyes close. I just know he's praying for me over there. He's always praying for me, that's right. He gives me the thumbs up there. Oh. But God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. There used to be a song, we used to sing that all the time. Remember that song? To be strong and courageous, you know, and to do that. And I've heard people say, you know, we need a Joshua generation. I'm telling you, today we need a Joshua generation. We need young men and young women who are so full of God, they're willing to do what Joshua did. Joshua, as they were coming out of Egypt, hooked up with the leader Moses, and he was like his little shadow. Joshua followed him wherever he went. He saw God in somebody, and Joshua, I'm sure, was thinking to himself, that man is a man of God, and what he has, I want, so I'm going to be with him, and that's a great way to learn. And I want to tell you something. We have children at home, and mom and dad, hopefully your children are saying, that man, that woman, my mom, my dad, if you're a single parent, whoever you are this morning, you are such a man or woman of God that your kids are like, I want what you have. Because modeling is the best form of teaching. God is looking for Joshuas. They will believe God and obey him. God is looking for Joshuas. They will not murmur or complain. Hello. You ever try to do something for your family and all of a sudden you hear it throughout the house? Murmur. I don't want to do that. I'm not going there. I'm not eating that. I'm not going to wear that. I know that didn't happen at your house. And with my 3 children being perfect, not. You're going to do what? You mean you want me to get out and shovel snow? What are you talking about? Didn't you bring the church snowblower home? Hello, Dad. I mean, come on, people. Do you know how much snow's out there? This is child abuse, and I'm turning you in. My youngest loves to tell me that. This is child abuse. Right now, I'm telling you. I'm turning you in. I said, here's a phone, baby. Dial it up. You know what? Being a parent, hear me. All of you that have little ones, and they're so special, they are. I told my wife, I wish we could have another one. I would spoil that child rotten. It would be so much fun. I mean, can you imagine? They probably would be a holy terror. That's the pastor's kid. They waited 15 years to have another one. Oh, 16 years. But somebody reminded, Owen, if you'll just wait 4 or 5 years, you could be a grandpa. I'm like, oh, I like that. Okay, postpone having one. Let's get them grandbabies coming. In a few years. But man, I can't wait. I can't wait. Because, man, I'm going to pour Jesus into them. And I'm going to love on them. And I'm going to help my children parent them. Even when they don't want me to. Because, hear me out. Hear me out. I'm still the matriarch of my family. Hello. That's the way it is, baby. Until I die, Owen is the king in his family. Hello. Now, men, that's the way you need to feel about it. Now, then the reason I say that is because everything that goes on in those next generations, those millennials, it flows back from you, baby. And I want to tell you something. You're going to be responsible. So whether my new son-in-law or my new daughter-in-law, matter of fact, they won't be called sons-in-laws or daughter-in-laws. Okay, that's not, they're going to be my son or my daughter. That's what I'm calling them. They're going to understand that. But they're going to understand I'm still their daddy. We may not be blood, but I'm your daddy. And don't you forget, I will help you. Now, some of you can laugh at that and say, oh, you don't know. We'll see. We'll see. They're going to get in a family. They're going to love the family. They're going to love me because I love having fun. Matter of fact, I have a little bit too much fun. My wife's back here this morning. Don't do that. Don't do it. Stop that. Stop that right now. Don't you. Oh. They don't like going to the mall with me. They don't like being in stores with me. Stuff just jumps out of me, you know. It's the flow, the Spirit's flow. We're going to talk about, next week we're going to talk about, part of this message is what flows out of us. Amen. And you know what? Some of you are clogged up. Hear me. Because healing should be flowing out of you. Life should be flowing out of you. Words of life, what you see, God's sight should be flowing out of you. But you're clogged up, and you're clogged up with sin. And I'm going to talk about three spirits that get in you, that attack you. A murderous spirit came out of Cain over his brother. Happens in the families all the time. See how bad I want to preach this message, but I got to hold off till next week. Next week. God is looking for Joshuas. They will not murmur or complain. They will give their lives for the gospel. They will lay down their lives for their brothers and their sisters. We don't really have that in America today. We'll lay a little bit down, but if we get unhappy with the church, or unhappy with the preacher, or unhappy with the spouse, we leave. We are so shallow, so immature, so many sucking on milk when Paul tells us to grow up and get the meat in. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen one another. Well, I don't like how they're doing this, and because they're not doing this my way, I'm going to leave. Now, you can laugh at that, but I'm telling you, that's what's going on in the body of Christ. And that's why we have 22,000 denominations. And it's sad. It's sad. We must become more tenacious and unyielding in our love for God. God's looking for Joshuas that will not take the glory for themselves. Hello.
Praise the Lord, God used me to heal Francis today. I laid hands on old Victor and he flopped around. His leg grew back. Praise God. She wanted a facelift and I put my hand on her face and that just totally restructured her entire face. If you tie it to me, I'll set you free today. I'm telling you, that's what's going on in the body of Christ. It's about your giftings and your charisma. Instead, Joshua generation says, no, 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 it ain't about me, man. It's about I am a conduit for Jesus, and he flows through me, and Jesus did the work in you. And you know what? You can all let God flow out of you. Anytime, anywhere, any situation. If you'll just realize that you need to be like a Joshua. We need to be warriors of God. I remember when I was a youth pastor, I printed up badges for all my teens. And they said, wimp or warrior? They were hot pink. That was so many years ago when pink wasn't a bad color. And it's not a bad color. We just let it, we believe the lies. But I'd say, man, are you going to be a wimp or are you going to be a warrior? I want you to wear this to school. I want you to wear it. And when kids ask you what that means, you tell them about Jesus. And I was dealing with junior hires, and I love junior hires because junior hires will do anything. So, man, they're going right into school. Ron Nickum was one of them. You remember the wimp or warrior? You still have it? That's good. Kim was one of them. And to make themselves, and they would come back, Pastor Owen, I went into school, man. They all asked me about my badge. I told them, I'm a warrior for Jesus. And I remember Norm and Ron got ridiculed and made so, people just persecuted them so much, and they still stood for Jesus at Tecumseh Junior High. They stood for Jesus. They didn't care. And I loved it. The problem with us is in this day and age, we don't want to be Joshuas and stand for Jesus. We don't want to follow around Moses. We would rather sit back and criticize and say what they think they should be doing. Do you know, I want everybody to look at your neighbor. Just look to the right and the left of you. Now, I want you to tell them this. This ain't heaven yet. Tell them that. Man, Tammy just did that to Michael, and she knows what I'm going to say now. She looked at him real big, and she said, baby, this ain't heaven yet, because Michael thinks he's a perfect 10. No, I'm just teasing you. Michael's a 20, okay? But here's my point. You have flawed people around you, amen? They are flawed. But if they're in Christ, they're a new creation. They're in the process of sanctification. Justification has already taken place. They've been justified. Now they're in a process. I want you to know, your spouse, your children, teenagers, your parents, they're not perfect. You need to remember that, and you need to constantly remind yourself, this ain't heaven yet. My wife and I were talking about heaven last night. I got a lot of questions for God. I was telling her some of my questions I have for God. I said, I can't wait to get there. You know, when I get there, my questions are already going to be answered. And the other thing we need to understand in the body of Christ, from leadership down, is we need to understand we could be wrong. Hello? We mess up. Hello? Boy, my mother-in-law wanted to amen me so loud right now. She held it within her. Lord, let that spirit of silence remain right there. In the name of Jesus. We need to be warriors for God. Stopping all the little foxes that would spoil the vine. Amen? What are some of those little foxes? Greed? Lust? Man, I'm going to do some messages on lust. I've already asked Chuck to be in my drama. He's going to be in the drama when I do this. But he and his wife, Angie. But we're going to spend, because you know what? Lust is destroying America. I'm just not talking about sexual. I'm talking about lust for things. Lust for positions.
But little foxes like lust, jealousy, anger, fear, pride, gossip. To be a warrior, we need to have an intimate time with God so we can hear and obey. We get empowered when we spend time with God. We get recharged. Shiloh and I were praying last night, and I just knelt down by the couch. And sometimes, hear me, church, it feels good just to get on your knees before God. You know, we don't do that anymore. You know, I'm talking about in our own little prayer time. You know, it's God is great, God is good, thank you for this food. Hallelujah, I'll see you next week, Lord. All right, amen. I mean, that's about the extent of our prayers. God wants us to get on our knees and spend some time with him. It's humbling, amen? Maybe physically you can't do it. Well, then sit in that chair and bow over and pray. We need to walk in the armor of God. I'm not even going to talk about that. I preached on that before. Stand strong and hang on. Get firm on our standing. Get a good grasp. That's what he was telling Joshua. Can you imagine? Joshua's just inherited 2 million men, children and wives and everything, maybe 5 million total. And God tells him 3 times, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, do you see these people? Be strong and courageous. Joshua, you're going into the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Stand firmly and get a grasp, son, because you're about to enter in. The problem in America is we want the heathen in America to like us. We want, and somebody, oh, you shouldn't use that word, heathen. Well, we need to call them what they are. They're heathen. If they're not of God, they're heathen. I had one lady, I remember I said that in a message. She got so upset at me. You shouldn't stand in front of the church and call those that don't know Jesus heathen. I'm like, what am I supposed to call them? She said, you need to say that they're in need of God. Okay, the people out there in need of God, they're called heathen. Because they don't know God. They're not going to like you because of your stand. Amen? When you walk in because of what's flowing out of you and it starts filling up the room, you're going to hear some people coughing and choking because they don't like what you brought in. Because if they're not serving God, then they're not for God. And if they're not for God, they're against God. There is a spiritual battle going on out there. I don't care what other people may tell you. There is a spiritual battle. So our battle, the other thing we need to understand, it is spiritual. And because it is spiritual, we need to be careful that we don't try to fight the battle in our own flesh against other flesh. I mean, when some people are up against abortion, which is fine, when they're out there picketing or doing what they want to do, do you realize some of these people get violent? They get physical? That is not of God. I don't go and punch somebody out and say, now don't get an abortion. Jesus loves you. No, you don't do that. We have a hard enough time not wanting to jump out and with road rage and punch somebody out and tell them how much the Lord loves them. I remember being my senior year in high school and being in basketball and on the court getting into it with another guy. Now, I claim to be this radical, born again, sold out, witness for Jesus. And when he hit me, I went ballistic. And later on, I mean, we have... The entire gym surrounded this fight. And I remember when we got up and we were going to the vice principal and he told us he was kicking us out of school. I remember I started weeping. Not because I was being kicked out of school. I started weeping because I realized what kind of witness I had just led in front of everybody, and it was a terrible witness. And I asked the kid I got in the fight with to forgive me right there. I asked that teacher right there to forgive me. And I said, I call myself a Christian and I blow it like this. I said, I'm so sorry. And when I went to school, I wasn't bragging about the fight. I had two black eyes. It was bad. Praise the Lord, he didn't kick us out. But I was apologizing to kids when they come up like, man, we saw that fight. That was great. I'm like, no, it wasn't. I blew a witness. I claimed to be a Christian. So there was no joy in the physical battle. There was shame because I blew a witness. We do fall short. Now, I could have let that just throw me away from God and said, man, I've blown it. No, I was determined the rest of my senior year, that last half of the year, that I was going to live the life for Christ. And I was going to make up for the bad things I had done and say, Lord, use me however you want to use me. Joshua believed. Joshua obeyed. The result was he took the promised land. We are the warrior bride. Everybody say warrior bride. When we believe Jesus, when we obey Jesus, we will overcome the world. Amen? And we can have an impact and lead many into the kingdom of God. Okay, that's my introduction today. Now let's get to the message. Okay, point number one. Joshua understood obedience. Joshua understood obedience. I told you, here was a kid, a young man, late teens, early 20s, following around Moses and saying, Moses, I'll serve you, I'll do whatever you want, I'll be there. Exodus 24:13 says, so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. Everybody say assistant. Some people like titles. You got to give them a title. So if it's your son or your daughter and they need a title, give them a title. You're the prince. I'm the king. You're the prince. You're the princess. I'm the king. Mama's the queen. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I'm the head of the house, but she's the neck that turns the head. Remember that. Women are like, yeah, praise the Lord. Some are singing, he saw the light. He saw, no. I'm just teasing. Some people in church, they got to have a title. Do you go to church life? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm the volunteer coordinator of the janitorial bathroom cleaning crew. That is a very important job. Some people have to have titles. It's part of things. Some of you at work, you've got to have a title. What do you do? And we've renamed everything to make people feel more important. I'm not against that. I think that's great. If you need that to make you feel better, that's great. But in the kingdom of God, here's your title. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. That should say it all. I'm a follower of Christ. I want to be Christ-like. I'm a Christian. Joshua understood obedience. So he followed Moses around. It says when Moses went into the tabernacle, Joshua waited at the door of the tabernacle while Moses was meeting with God. Can you imagine that? The main dude is having conversations with God. Just a few flaps over through that tent. And you're right there, and I'm sure Joshua's like, oh, man. kind of walk he has, I want that walk. You see, I saw that in my mom. My mom would be on her knees praying at night. I would hear her praying. In the morning, I would see her pray. I'd see her reading the word. And all of a sudden, I would hear her say, God wants me to go speak to this person. And then my mom would go. She would speak to this person. They would come to know the Lord. And I'm telling you, I would see miracles. My mom would go to the hospital and God would say, go into that room, pray for that person. This is what's going on. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, God, what she's got, I want. I want that. Parents, hear me. It's so important for you to have that. You can, it should be flowing out of you. You need to come home and share with your children what God has done in your day. As a mom at home, God does many things. He opens up all kinds of doors. There are neighbors all around. Time and time again, I would see my mom sitting in the house sharing the gospel with one of the ladies in the neighborhood, praying with them, praying for their marriage. She would have, you know, I'm not elevating my mom this morning. What I'm saying is, because she was obedient to the Lord and a servant of God, it placed within my heart to be obedient to God and to be a servant. And it starts, parents, when they're little. Obedience. Turn with me to Ephesians. What's on your outline? Let's read it there. Ephesians 6. We're going to jump back and forth from Exodus to Ephesians because I want you to see what's going on here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Woo! I better have everybody read this with me. Read that with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. In the King James, it says that you may prosper. How many parents want your children to prosper? Come on, let me see your hand. Hold it up higher so your kids can see it. I want the teenagers to see that, that you do want them to prosper. And it says, children, that we have to obey our parents. Now, I can honestly say, and my mom will testify to this, that even though I had a lot of energy and I got into a lot of things, I was very obedient. I was not one of these rebellious children that went out and did all kinds of terrible things in the world. Because I understood that my mom and dad had authority. When my dad, when he would whip out that belt and I'd hear that, I mean, my dad would just have to look at me the wrong way. And that man meant business. And when he came to my bedroom door and he stood there with that belt, I started crying. I cried and I jumped to be the first one in line because he who was last got it the worst. But my dad knew that there needed to be discipline in the home. And when you have two boys and they're wrestling and they cave the wall in, you need to get those boys' attention. When they're knocking the window out to get outside, you need to get those boys' attention. Now, boys will be boys. I remember going to a brand new facility at a camp, a youth camp, a brand new facility, brand new. And Ron and Rick Gray had been there the week prior that I had been there. And in the wall of the brand new dorm was a full body collision into the wall where brothers had gotten into it and caved in the drywall. I'm like, oh my. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. Honor your father and mother. If you can't memorize scripture, sing it. But my point being this to parents this morning, if little Junior or little Jessica will not go to bed, then you've got a problem. And because you're so loving and they're the joy of your life, our kids went to bed at 8:30, whether they liked it or not. I remember hearing Jared in the baby bed when he was in there at 6:30, banging it on the wall, making a statement, I'm in here and I don't want to stay in here. But I let him stay. And I'll never forget, there was one drink of water, two drinks of water, three drinks of water. I'm like, that's it. We ain't doing this stuff no more. 8:30. But some of you parents that keep giving in and you keep yielding, you're doing your children a disservice because they need to learn discipline and how to submit to your authority, because if they'll do that as a child, they'll start submitting to God's authority when they become an adult. But we've raised up a generation that doesn't want to submit to authority. They hear you gossip about your spouse. They hear you rip out the pastor and rip him down. And then they hear you talk about the church. And they hear you as a grandparent talk about the church. And you want to know why they don't want Jesus? You're the reason. They need you to be seen. They don't need to hear you. They need you to be seen modeling Jesus before them. I'll never forget, because Jared was very colicky as a baby. And it was so hard, and he would cry and cry and cry. And I remember at about 8 months, 9 months, him screaming in there, and Shaloy will testify to this, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, she can't take it anymore, she's getting up, and I put my arm over her, and I said, you're not going in there. She's like, I am too. I said, you're not going in there. He knows he can get us to come in. Let the boy cry. And all of a sudden, I felt her cheeks, and there were tears coming down hers. And then there were tears coming down mine. But you know what? We did not go in there, and the boy quit crying at night. There comes a point where you've got to say no. Well, you sound like you were mean at heart. No, I was a great dad. I am a great dad. I love my kids to death. But I realize that you have to set up boundaries. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. But if you have a relationship and they understand the rules and they understand what God says, they will submit to authority. Why do you think our prisons are full of young men and young women that are rebellious? Because they've never learned to submit to authority. Their parents didn't teach them, and they're rebellious, and they think by their strength and their power, they're going to overcome those above them. And you know what? When they try to do that with a police officer, or they try to do that with it, they find themselves in prison. And in the body of Christ, if we don't train our children up when they are young to love and respect authority, then we're in for it. Joshua learned how to respect authority. It's taught by parents. If you don't teach your children discipline, you're doing them a great disservice. Structure and order are good. Joshua lived by God's principles of submission and authority. And I love this. We want our children to live a long life. We want them to prosper and be good. There's a commandment that says, obey your parents. We need to remind them, you want a blessing? You want a great life? Obey your parents. Learn to obey your parents. There's a promise with that. So Paul goes on later to talk about the armor of God. The key in the body of Christ is to learn to be obedient and to learn to submit to the authority that God has placed in your life. Now, Mom, I realize, Owen, you don't understand a mother's heart. I have the gift of mercy. I love you ladies with the gift of mercy. You're great. I want you on my team. Missy's got the gift of mercy. We talked about this. But the gift of mercy can get you in a mess. It's a great gift. But oh, if you come and you do something wrong to the one with the gift of mercy, they will hold you accountable. If you burn them. Tim says amen. I love the gift of mercy, but I want to tell you something. It's okay to have mercy, but you better hope your other half, your husband, is there to offset some of that. Because children need a balance. Oh, don't spank little Freddy today. Don't take his toy from him. I know he had painted the entire room. It's his creativity that does that. I know he punched a hole in every wall in the house. It's okay. He's learning to take his aggression out on things instead of people. No, 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 no. I saw Dr. Phil one time. They were talking about parents and what to do. And so, you know, this little five-year-old is going nuts. So he said, well, take his little PlayStation. So they took his PlayStation. Well, he still, okay, take this. The kid was finally in the bedroom with only a mattress. Well, that's like a prison. That's abuse. No, it's not. If the kid's not going to, if he's not going to obey your authority, do you think he's going to obey the authorities in the world? Come on. I want to tell you something. That little guy learned to do what mommy and daddy wanted him to do because there was nothing to do in that bedroom. Some of you are like, oh, this is bad. I want to tell you something. If you can't teach your children to submit and to obey, they're going to be in trouble. So as a body of Christ, we need to start that in our own homes. Don't allow your children to talk bad about their teachers, their authorities. Yes, they can question things. There's nothing wrong with questioning. But I want to tell you something. Don't let them verbally assault. But if you're going through the house and you're telling little Johnny or little Susie that they're a bad boy or a bad girl, then you're assaulting them because they're not bad. What they did may be bad, but don't call them bad. Build self-esteem. If they tried to make breakfast and they brought the bowl of Cheerios into the bedroom to you, and as they woke you up, they tipped it on you, don't go ballistic and flip up the covers and no, say, honey, you were trying to do the right thing. You almost made it. Next time, put it on the table and come and get mommy and daddy, okay? There's a way to build self-esteem and not tear it down. The problem is we have a lot of men coming home tired and a lot of ladies coming home tired and they've had a frustrating day, and who do they take it out on? That little energetic five-year-old that's just whizzing around the room. And he's like, Dad, you're home. Let's do it, baby. And you're like, no, you don't understand. Or she says, Daddy, let's go play house. And you're like, I don't want to play house. Oh, Daddy, I got food for you to eat. And you sit there for hours. But I did that. In the bedroom, playing house with Kirsten. Kirsten loved to play house. She loved to dress me. She loved, Kirsten loved, you know, and there were times I was so tired, I was like, where's your mother? How come you guys didn't play house today? You know, I was thinking that. But Shaloy's like, thank you, Jesus. Go, go, Daddy, go, Daddy. I've been with three of them, baby. I've heard baby talk all day. Suck it up and be a man. Second point is this. Joshua learned. First of all, he was obedient. He learned obedience. Second, he learned how to serve. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to camp. But his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. He understood, man, when the presence of the Lord was around, man, he just wanted to be there and to be in the presence and to serve. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Now, I did a whole series on submission and on respect. You can get that, because some of you ladies aren't going to like this verse already. Let's go back. Let's go back. Wives, as a matter of fact, I want the ladies to read this with me. Come on, ladies. If it bothers you to read this, there's something wrong. Okay, come on, ladies, help me out here. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Woo! I feel that glory! Some of you are like, oh, I don't like this church. I'm a visitor. I'm out of here. I told you we're going to be real. Now, we talked about what submission is. And I can go through and show you all about submission. But there's another point that says, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And if you're loving her the way Jesus loved the church, she's going to be putty in your hand, baby. Amen. You're putty, aren't you, baby? He's putty. I'm bad. But hear me out. Ladies, submitting means we lay down our will. Grandma, we lay it down. You're not the ruler of the house. God is going to hold the man accountable for every decision that is made in that home. Ladies, he'll hold you accountable too, but the man is going to be held accountable for his decisions, your decisions, and the children's decisions. That's why, as a grandfather and as a future father of my children that are going to come into my family by marriage, I'm held accountable to God. And I'm not going to worry about tipping their glass over so that they'll keep loving and liking me. I'm going to speak the truth in love. Good thing I said it that way. I didn't spit on somebody in front of me. I'm going to speak the truth. But we need to be servants. And we need to learn how to submit. Because, ladies, if you can't submit to that old boy you're married to, your son or your daughter are seeing the wrong picture of marriage. And they're going to rise up and say, my mama didn't take nothing from my daddy, and I ain't taking nothing from no man in my life. That's exactly what's wrong with the family today. Daddy could be wrong, and daddy could be a jerk, but I want to tell you something, mama. Your being on your knees and seeking God can make a bigger difference, because you can win him over by the fruit that comes out of you. And some of you, man, you got a tongue that's sharp on both sides. He starts to do something, and you're just like, be careful. We're going to give account for every word that comes out. Because I want to go a little further. Now I want you to look at James 4:7. Thank you, brother. James 4:7. Therefore, read this with me. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you were in God's young military, if you were 2nd through 5th grade, you would have that memorized. Because that was one of our memory verses. Let's go to the first part of that. Therefore, submit to God. If you can't submit to your husband, you cannot submit to God. Husbands, if you can't love your wives, you can't love God. Remember, we're going back to the children, grandchildren. Grandma and grandpa, if you're fighting and squawking, if your grandbabies come around and all they hear you say is, oh, he's just an old bum. He sits out on back porch. He doesn't do nothing around here. Been married to him 53 years. And that was 52 long. Now, if they hear you say that kind of stuff, You are modeling to them what they do not need to be hearing. Amen? I have watched it take place in the body of Christ. Somebody gets corrected in love. They run to their parent. And I've seen grandkids stand around while parent and son, parent and daughter tear down that authority in the church and what they did to them while the grandkids are standing there going, So if you don't like it, you just talk about it, you gossip, you run to all the family, and you get them all upset. Somebody, turn to your neighbor and say, that's not me, tell them that. That's not me, that's good. Same thing applies. We need to respect those in government. Now, it doesn't mean, and hear me, whether it's church, home, or whatever, God's word overrides everything. I can't let government cause me to disobey God's word if I'm a believer. Nor a spouse, nor a parent. You got to understand that. Joshua learned how to serve. He would go with Moses. He went to the mountains with Moses. He waited for Moses. He waited before the Lord. He fellowshiped with God. We need to do what James 4:7 is, before the devil is going to resist, what's it say you got to do? Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee to you. But there's a statement before that. You better be submitted to God if you're going to try resisting the devil and he's going to flee. And if you have a problem with authority, I want to tell you something. Rebellious people will not be in heaven. Oh, that's a mean statement. It's the truth. Satan is the author of rebellion. We need to learn how to submit. Okay, I want to look at something real quick on submission. I'm going to look at that real quick. We're almost done. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's closing. He's got 2 hours left. Tell him that. He's got 2 hours. Usually we get out here by noon, but you're going to get this before we leave today. You got to have this, okay? Submission. Submission by believers. We submit as believers to governing authorities. Romans 13:1-5. I'm just going to go through this real quick and you can get the tape. If you've been coming to the church recently, we give our CDs away free. So you can get with Brian and find out if you want something on armor or whatever. You can get that free, okay? We don't charge for any of that. So I'm just going to, these will be on the CD on the message this morning. Whom do we submit to? Governing authorities, Romans 13:1-5, Titus 3:1, 1 Peter 2:13. Women, submit to the church, it says, 1 Corinthians 14:34. Corinthian believers, submit to Paul's co-workers, 1 Corinthians 16:16. Believers, submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21. Wives, submit to their husbands, Ephesians 5:22-24, Colossians 3:18, Titus 2:5, 1 Peter 3:1-5. The church submits to Christ, Ephesians 5:24. Slaves to their masters, Titus 2:9, 1 Peter 2:18. Believers to God, Hebrews 12:9, James 4:7. Young people to those who are older, 1 Peter 5:5. Young people to those who are older, 1 Peter 5:5. Young people to those who are older, 1 Peter 5:5. Further examples of submission, Jesus to his parents, Luke 2:51. The demons submitted to the 70 disciples, Luke 10:17-20. Creation submitted to God, Romans 8:20. Everything submits to Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:27-28, and Philippians 3:21. Christ submitted to God the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:28. The world to come will submit to Christ in the church, Hebrews 2:5-8. The angels and authorities and powers submit to Christ, 1 Peter 3:22. Failure to submit. Those who did or do not submit, the sinful mind, does not submit to God and his law. Romans 8, 7. Israel did not submit to God, submit to God's righteousness. Romans 10, 3. The fact that Jesus submitted, he said, the only thing I do is the will of the Father. I don't move till God tells me. Church, we need to have what's flowing out of us be all that God wants us to do. Well, I'm going to run and I'm going to buy this new facility and I'm going to buy this new business and I'm going to buy this new vehicle. You know, if you make $40,000 a year, you should only spend about a third of your income as far as what you make. So that would be about, oh, maybe $13,000, $14,000. You should never have a vehicle that's valued over a third of what you make. Let me help you out here. You that have financial problems, you should never lease. Leasing a car is one of the, unless it's a business thing, leasing a car is very bad for you. It's terrible. Car salesmen in here are like, I don't like this guy either. But there are principles that we can learn and live by. How can you make $40,000 a year and be driving a $45,000 car? Come on. Unless mom and daddy or somebody gave you some extra money, what I'm saying is don't put yourself in that position to where you can't make it. You got to have food. You've got to have shelter. I love it. I heard T.D. Jakes talk the other day. Anybody heard of T.D. Jakes? To me, one of the best preachers in America. And he was talking, and he said, I don't understand why the Mercedes and the Beamers are all sitting in your driveways while you're living in a trailer. We got to get a hold of God's principles. God has a lot to say about finances. Submission is characterized as Christ-like behavior. Submission plus responsibility equals love. Last point, Joshua had faith. Everybody say faith. I love this, man, this story. Joshua had faith. We know that Moses is telling the Israelites about this promised land and how great it is, and he sends 12. One from each tribe. They are the best in the tribe. They are the brightest, the smartest. He picks out the best in each tribe. And Joshua and Caleb were two of those guys. And he sends them over to spy out the promised land. I'm going to close with this. They go there. They come back. And 10 of the 12 said, there are giants in the land. As a matter of fact, they're so big, we are like grasshoppers. There are many in the church that you're not teaching your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, to have faith. And Joshua not only was obedient, Joshua not only was a servant, but number three, Joshua had faith because he and Caleb said that those men were nothing. And that because God was for them, they would take the promised land. And it says that the Israelites gathered around them to stone them. Sometimes when you take a step of faith and nobody else wants to believe it, even the body can turn against you. Amen? Don't you dare speak that. He's gonna die. God can't do that. Hear me. Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of that generation that went into the promised land. Everybody else was kept out because they had faith. I'm telling you, you want to talk about faith? We have missed this message on faith by these two guys. And I don't have time to go into all that. I'll just pick it up next week. Stand with me. Adam, if you'll come up to the keyboard. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. We must submit to Christ as our Lord. The problem is, I got a lot of folks, and I know a lot of folks, they want Jesus to be their Savior, but they're not willing for Him to be their Lord. Won't you bow your heads with me this morning? I'm going to let you go. It's just right now, it's about noon. Just bow your heads. Give me a few more minutes here. I'm here to encourage you this morning. I didn't come here to beat you up. I came here to let you know that God's word is true. And if you apply His principles and you'll live in obedience and you'll become a servant, and extend your faith, there are great things that God wants to do. You'll learn to stand, you'll learn to hang on, and God will use you. One of the things about Joshua, he didn't go around saying, "Give me this position. I need to be in charge of that. Why didn't you invite me to be in charge of that? How come I wasn't called to be on that committee?" Joshua never did that. David was told he was going to be king, but he never went around and said, "I'm going to be the king. You should put me in that position right now." Those that run to you and want to be a part of that, there's a problem there. Those that are obedient and serve and have faith, at the level they are, in God's time, He promotes them to the next level. And that's exactly what He did with Joshua. He promoted Joshua. God did. And I want to tell you something. If we could take the time to study the life of Joshua, what a mighty man of God. What a mighty man of God. Humble, yet trusting. Paul, when he talks to the children in Ephesians and he commands them to obey their parents, he does not say you're going to understand everything your parents are going to have you do. Nowhere does he say you're going to understand it. He says, obey. Paul does not command the church as a whole to understand all of the mysteries of Christ. He says, submit to God and obey Christ. We need to obey Christ, even though we may not understand the whys in it. God is a God of principles and concepts. Job, in chapter 8, verse 7 says, "Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly." Zechariah 4, 9 and 10 talks about being faithful in the small things and God promoting you. Learn to be faithful at the level God has put you at. God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of His principles. The structure that He has set up. You're here this morning and you say, "I have a problem with authority. I have a problem submitting." It could be to your parents, it could be to your spouse. It could be to leadership in the church. I don't know. I'm not going to invite you forward. But what you're saying to God today is, "Lord, I'm going to first and foremost submit to You, Jesus. You're not just going to be my Savior. You're going to be my Lord. And as I line up with You, I'll line up with these authorities that You have placed in my life." With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, "I really do struggle with this." Would you lift your hand up and take it back down? Eyes closed. I struggle with it. Hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. Just take it up and put it back down. Just take it up. You're telling the Lord, "Lord, that's me this morning. That's me this morning, Lord. Lord, I need You to change me. It starts on the inside of me, God." Part of the problem is we don't love ourselves. And if we can't love ourselves, we have a hard time loving others. I'm going to tell you, some of you need to go back and you need to pull out your Purpose-Driven Life book by Rick Warren, and you need to read that, because that book starts out and really gives you a true definition of who you are in Christ and how much the Lord loves you. Anybody else say, "Man, I just want prayer this morning"? That's me. I see that hand. I want everybody, because a lot of hands went up, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Say, "Jesus, I love you. And I know you're for me. I'm humbling myself this morning, asking you to forgive me for not submitting to your authority, to the authorities in my life. Now you can name whatever they are. You know what they are. You can just name them to the Lord right now, whatever they are. Tenderize my heart with your Holy Spirit. I want to be gentle. I want to be meek. I want your love flowing through me. Today is the day that I change from the inside out. Help me to speak words of life to those around me, to those over me. Help me to adore who you are. I ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every person that lifted their hand and said that prayer. God, it's not just in a prayer, it's in a heart change. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they will realize that they're no longer going to make you their Savior. You're going to be their Lord. And because you're their Lord, they're going to submit to you. Then they'll resist the devil and he will flee from them. But the first step, God, is they are submitted to you and all those that you have placed in their lives, from their parents to their boss to those in leadership, they've submitted. And they're going to trust you to make the changes in those that are over them and in them. Lord, give them a great week. I pray for your blessing upon their lives. Let them go forth and make a difference in that mission field out there. Bring them back next week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them it was good to have them here today. Welcome them. Don't forget visitors. Get your candy. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.